Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, I'm John Holmes, and each week myself, Mark Haynes, and a guest sit and discuss and analyse some television. So far, so podcast. But the difference is that we discuss a particular corner of television that you've never watched, and nor will you ever, because it's awful. That's right, it's TV's The One Show. Join us as we gleefully take it apart every week, taking a deep dive into TV's shallowest programme. You don't have to like The One Show or have ever seen it. To be honest, it's probably best if you don't and haven't. So join us as we take the bullet for you in what The Guardian says the creme de la creme of obscure stuff to stick in your ears, the big issue call really funny, and pop bitch write, is a joy. The One Show Show, wherever you... Oh, you know the rest.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Okay. Hello.
Back.
Welcome back, me, to the curse of Strictly. Hello, Julia. How have you been?
Oh, God. I mean, you know, Joel's been muddling through, bless him, but I'm really glad to have you back.
The terrible thing is when it's someone who, obviously, Joel's your husband, it's terrible record a podcast thing and then you can have all day walking around the house to just simmer about what was said.
Exactly. It's really put a strain on our relationship, and frankly, I'm glad for the week off.
I am overjoyed that the curse of Strictly, even if it's not happening on screen, is still managing to do it in some other way.
It's
got to ruin relationships. I've been watching, obviously. I've been really enjoying. I'm slightly worried about this series because there isn't anyone notably bad. Everyone is very, very middly.
Well, as we're seeing this week, I think the dance-off is going to be different people almost every week. It's really, really sticky being mid-table now. You are not safe.
Do you think this is because everybody now takes it seriously in a way that 10 years ago it was just being on a silly show? And now everybody's like, I will just dedicate myself to the art of dance full-time.
Yeah, very possibly. I think it was an interesting callback during the show last night. Anton mentioned, you know, Anne Widdecombe and the Titanic routine he did with her. I just thought, we haven't had an Anne Widdecombe for quite some time. And I'm sure she's not watching Strictly anymore because of all the men dancing together. It delights me to think of her in a little sort of puddle of rage about what her Strictly has become. I think they are taking it more seriously. They don't seem to be casting that way anymore. Now it's just pure competitiveness, which is it's troubling because good people are going every week.
We've mentioned this when we first started this one, but there does seem to have been a decision made. Obviously, there's a lot of internal stuff, but the decision is we no longer have to have people that the audience know, because every time we've used someone that people don't know, they grumble about it for 2 weeks, and then they like the Joe Sugg effect, where they
when
begin
you
to go, I'm enjoying it.
When you
yeah.
say they.
I don't think these people are any more famous 4 weeks into Strictly than they were at the start. But I think there is that funny thing about, you know, because they've done that, they don't have to do, they're not doing stunt booking anymore. I don't think they're sort of like, oh, well, people don't care anyway. So we can just have everyone being the same. But it does make it quite a hard watch when you don't have the people who you're like, oh, they're the worst. Because it's all very one note.
I agree. I am actually finding that quite difficult. I want cannon fodder. I want people we don't mind losing. They'll give us a couple of good weeks of gurning and flapping their hands and feet around, and then they're gone. And that's the way to kind of cleanse your palate before you get stuck into the meaty main course. And we're not getting that. We're just getting it's all a bit too close for comfort, I think.
Yeah, and I've got a solution.
Okay.
It's internal BBC, we need to start bringing in some of the CBBC animals. So,
I was a dog. Hackett,
let's have a joke one. Let's have Sooty do it. You know, and I think that would be amazing, because how would they do it? Would you have the dancer dance, and would there be strings, or would the puppeteer dance behind them in a black suit? Oh, and yeah, that would be
like
good.
In a black box on wheels underneath.
Oh, that would be amazing. Yeah. Didn't they? In fact, now I say it. Didn't they have Miss Piggy on Strictly Come Dancing at some point? Or was Kermit? Oh, no, Kermit was in the Masked Singer, rather.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
I think it's about time we stopped this anti-puppet propaganda and we began allowing puppets to have a fair shake of the stick that keeps their head up.
Equality for puppets and their puppeteers. Yeah, for sure.
I've been watching quite a lot of Waffle. At the minute, I don't know if you know Waffle. Your son is beyond the age of my daughter, so I'm seeing a whole new tranche of children's programs that may have passed you by. But Waffle is about a dog. Doesn't really seem to have any special powers. He's just a dog.
Okay,
that seems to be enough these days. Sure, in my days, we used to have Spider-Men. You know, they did something, but Waffle is just a dog. But I think, you know, let's get Waffle in there dancing. You know, so he can go out in week two, and we can just have a little bit of
to get Waffle on Strictly. Are you serious?
Very much so. And I've got a T-shirt printed up. Yep. It says, good boy, Waffle, and brackets, don't sit, dance, it says.
Okay, I look forward to that next series.
Yeah, I'm surprised they've never done Mr. Tumble, because I do think, such an iconic CBBC character. And I think to have him come out and constantly be doing a clowning act through it, again, not a massive clowning act, is it? He just paints his nose red and speaks loudly.
In my head, I think this might be unfair to Justin, but in my head, he asks his agent to put him up for Strictly every year and he will never stop trying. That's what's going on in my world. He's sitting sadly outside the studio, you know, in full clown makeup, just in case the call should come. It never does.
Yeah, and them saying, do you want to be in a same-sex dance couple? And him saying, yes, I need to be dancing with another clown. I think clown rights and the CBBC pet rights, I think Strictly is lagging behind.
It's woke gone mad.
This will get a Daily Mail sidebar, won't it? You know, wacky woke lefties call for Waffle to be crowned Strictly winner.
Enough.
I mean, the opening of this show, I mean, as the country just gets worse and worse and worse, Strictly just presents a better version of the Britain that we could be.
Doesn't it? Yes, it is. It's like glimpsing through a portal into another version of us. It is. You're referring, of course, to the Bridgerton-style opening, because I think that's what they were going for.
Yeah.
You know, it's movie week, and that's technically a TV show.
It is.
They give Johannes the kind of Duke's role, and he's inviting everyone to the ball, and then you get to the ball, and men are dancing with women, and then Kai sweeps up the stairs. They do this beautiful dance routine to like an instrumental of Romeo and Juliet by Taylor Swift. And then all the partnerships change to same-sex partnerships. And it's like, again, it's like another beautifully choreographed fuck you to Anne Widdecombe. It makes me so happy.
Absolutely. It's a dancing version of what the Daily Mail isn't. And it was, I looked at it and I thought, oh, well, good. We're fully same-sex now. We are a post-non-same-sex dancing show. We had Nicola Adams and Katia last year as the two women who did the dance, which was the toe in the water, the bisexual plunge, if you like.
Of course, Russian agents infected them with COVID in order to stop progress.
Of course. And this year, with Johannes and John being the same-sex couple, it's amazing how big a deal this was last year and how now. You know, I had a quick look at some of the papers this morning, and there is no one saying, well, it's gone too far now.
No.
You know, good, you big Nazis.
you can't go against the obvious good feeling, public good feeling in the studio they're, every time they dance, there's like a huge reaction in the studio, and Johannes is always really emotional afterwards. It's obviously a good thing, and you'd have to be a maniac to disagree.
Oh, completely. And I mean, but maniacs there are, and maniacs they do disagree, which is even better. If everybody agreed with it, I wouldn't find it so emotional.
That's
but the
true.
Fact that I know it's really upsetting horrible people, I was like, I love every bit of this. I like the fact they did do that Bridgerton thing as well. The Georgian era, I don't think if you were in the Georgian era, it was very sexy. I think it was dull and a lot of admin.
Really boring. Yeah,
horrible, uncomfortable clothes. But because of Dangerous Liaisons, you know, 87, that really cemented it for all of us. So I like the fact they did this same-sex thing in the Georgian era, because they were saying, this is sexy. Make no mistake about it. You know, they aren't dressed as Shrek and all the woodland nymphs and things. We knew it was supposed to be sexy. And honestly, definitely, when Kai went up to hold Johannes' hand at the end, what was great about that is they'd sort of gone, everyone is gay here. You know, it's a big gay party. And at the end, they went, in case you'd forgotten about it, men are also gay. And they had Kai reach for Johannes' hand at the end. And my eyes slightly went prickly.
Oh,
I was really like,
I cried. One of the three times I cried this episode. So good.
And I'll tell you, I mean, I'm so easily swayed that after that, Kai, I was like, I think Kai is one of my favourites.
Yeah, no, I completely love him now.
Yeah, I thought. Do you know, I've seen the real you. I've seen the kind, the open-minded, the woke, the, you know, disgusting liberal Kai. And it was a Kai that I immediately wanted to hug and call my brother.
I take back everything I said about him maybe being one of the anti-vaxxers. I don't think that's even slightly the case now.
No, although, you know, he's still a dancer. He might not be the full picnic hamper.
hamper. We should get on to the dancers, Mark.
We should do. And it's movie week this week. One of our favourites.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of stress on the sort of movies that are already well represented by Smithy's fancy dress costumes, aren't they?
In the cupboard.
Only in Strictly is Avatar an actual like thing that people talk about.
I can
I do sometimes wonder that they don't necessarily go for the music first or what the dance would be, but what the makeup people can get to do. And so with Avatar, you're like, oh, they're all blue. That'd be fun for the lads. And I don't know. I felt like if we'd gone back through the previous series, I think we would have seen the Titanic and the Bodyguard, you know, numerous occasions.
Yeah.
I think it's about time to think of some new movies. That's my takeaway from this.
There definitely are other films. And Avatar, it just felt like the CGI guys were kind of on board for the series, like just twiddling their thumbs. And they're kind of going, okay, fine, do one where it's, I don't know, set on an alien planet or something, fine. Yes, have we got enough blue makeup? Fine.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that, I think. It does. Sometimes they do choose really odd things. But I guess it's the confluence of, like, is it a track we can dance to? Is it an interesting look that will contrast with what everyone else is doing? And but you always feel sorry for the poor buggers who are, you know, Robert Webb dressed as a frog. Or the people who dance as Shrek, I always assume are going everywhere. Week, but somehow this week wasn't the case. It's just you must be so peed off if you get to movie week and you have to look clownish and abhorrent rather than sexy and fabulous.
I thought exactly that. So it was Sara and Aliasha were dancing as Shrek and Shrekette.
Fiona.
When they say to you it's movie week, you have an idea of what you're going to be doing, don't you? And you think, right, I'll be like Grace Kelly. That'll be it. They'll choose something from high society.
Yeah.
Exactly. And when they go, so we've picked out your one and it's Shrek. And you just go, they think I'm not pretty compared to everybody else. And then they say, you'll be Princess Fiona. And there's that moment where you go, oh, great. Sorry. Is it going to be pre or post her Shrekking? And then they go, oh, no, don't be stupid. It's post Shrekking.
You'll be finding green in your pubes for weeks.
And, you know, you're if you go out, you'll be looking the saddest you've ever looked in front of the nation. Mm-hmm. And you will be coloured green and you'll have funny little sticking out trumpet ears.
And you have to smile through the tears that are running the green makeup down your sad, disappointed face.
It always makes me think of, like, Art House. House films where people are at kids' birthday parties in fancy dress and then someone says, I want a divorce, and they're dressed as something inappropriate where they look sad.
Or
and I was watching
Big Brother where they have a really vicious knife fight in the kitchen with dressed as clowns. That definitely happened once.
That did, yes.
The juxtaposition is delicious.
They really are. And it always makes me feel, just a bit uncomfortable. First dance was Judy Love and Graziano, and they did a Charleston to Chicago. How did you find this one?
I was really surprised. Again, I always am, I think, because physically you're not quite sure how much movement and articulation she's going to have throughout her body because she doesn't have a long, lean dancer's body. But and Craig did say something about one of her feet not swiveling, but I was watching her feet doing the swivels. Have you ever tried to do that? I've tried to do it in my kitchen every six series. And obviously with an aging, creaky old carcass for a body. I can't do it. It's impossible. She was swiveling like properly. Obviously, her performance was everything they said. It was feminine and kind of she had the character of the dance and is it Mama Morton, that character from Chicago. Thought she was great. Did you like it?
I did, yeah. I thought she moves really, really well. And I think it's always great to see a woman with a body type that TV does not represent outside some very narrow lines.
Yeah.
Doing a serious dance. You know, I do find that, you know, the last stereotype that is allowed, not just in television, but in popular culture and wider culture itself, is that if you are fat, you are either a comic or lazy. There is no positive overweight role models. You know, nobody sort of says
been for a long time. No,
no, and nobody sort of says, you know, even if you are heavier than the norm, and certainly heavier than what is the norm in the media. Then there is no one who sort of goes, but there are three people who are absolutely gorgeous sex beasts who are overweight, and we need more of them. It's very difficult to think of anyone who does that. Now, with Judy Love on this, she is a heavier performer, and she just moved so well that there was no sense of, if you like, them having to make allowances for her body type. They just gave her the routine and they said, knock it out of the park. And I thought she really did.
I agree. I think, and the choreography, was it Craig probably? Craig said it lacked content, which I think
he
just meant because the Charleston is such a big kind of clownish, huge gestures, lots of tumbling and tricks and things. There wasn't loads of that, but there was still some. I mean, it was still demonstrably a Charleston. And she performed it brilliantly. But yeah, maybe that's the one allowance that they make for someone who's not, you know, week three brilliant like they all bloody seem to be now.
Yeah.
That she wasn't doing as much of the tumbling and trickery as you might expect from, say, a Charleston later in the series.
No, and it was funny when he said that didn't seem to have a lot of content. Because as soon as this dance was over, other than going, I thought, you know, she was really, really, you know, decent at it.
Yeah.
I couldn't really remember what she'd done. I think part of that is the problem is with the choice of this dance. And I feel like I've seen this dance done a lot of times over the years, not just on Strictly, but, you know, in a wider sense, just on television, on film. It made me think of when we were growing up in the early 80s, whenever you'd have a little and large and they'd go, and now please welcome special guest Nerys Hughes, quite often they'd do Willkommen, Bienvenue, Welcome from Cabaret. Yeah. And that was a thing that you'd see on Tea Time TV all the time. And for me, that Mama Morton sort of, the whole look of it is so instantly recognisable that it's almost over-familiar. And so it didn't sort of have the impact, I felt, for me.
Yes, perhaps. But she is one of the few people who got to look properly hot and sexy on movie week. And a lot of them, they seem to hate Diane Buswell. They're always putting her in really shit costumes.
Putting her in a pig snout.
I mean, come on.
Last
year she was Marge Simpson with like her gusset on show.
That's right, yeah.
Last year, the year before.
As soon as they do those knockoff costumes, it does look like parody pornography.
It's really not good.
And just, you know, you can't put a young woman on television in a pig snout and then just keep it on her. I think it was so, I don't know, horrible. It's demeaning. I did think as well with the Chicago thing is, you know, and I hope this works out for Judy Love in this respect, is that I think, you know, some of these often seem like a little bit of an audition for a UK touring production of the musical that it's in. And I thought, you know, that's a role that, you know, if she can sing, then that is a role that, you know, you can really see her doing, you know, all the way from Hemel Hempstead,
it does,
you know,
like,
round,
yeah,
to Arbroath. You know?
Sometimes the producers are kind of offering them a bit of a lifeline if they, you know, it's like, well, this is your audition for Chicago. Someone's, yeah, going to be doing a production somewhere when you come out the other end of this. So, you know, if you want to do it, you can do it.
If you're a West End producer, you do watch this, don't you? And you, sure, go, well, they can move, you know, they can do it. And because that is, of course, your way into to connecting with an audience who otherwise, yeah, are sort of ignoring your touring production of Annie or whatever.
And no, it kind of fits. She's on Loose Women. She's a comedian. She'll be playing bigger venues after this for sure. And rightly so. And also that is the audience that goes and sees Chicago in the West End or on tour. Like, you watch Loose Women, yeah, you'll buy tickets to go and see your favourite comedian from that playing Mama Morton. So yeah, frankly, she's got it in the bag, I think. So the judges were a little bit split. Craig went all the way down to a 4, just for not swiveling her right foot. Seems a bit harsh, but he still loved her performance. Shirley gave a 7, Anton gave a 6, and Motsy gave a 7. So 2 7s is pretty good.
Yeah, again, the scoring got a lot softer as it went on.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily mean the dances that were getting the high marks, but some of the dances that were very in the middle. Craig, having given, you know, a 4 to Judy, he was, yeah, giving 7s to dances that were easily the same level, if not a little bit below.
Well, we talked about this last week. Yeah, there's a 3 coming up as well next for Dan and Nadia from Craig. He starts off absolutely vicious, and then as the nicotine patches kick in, he becomes Mr. Mellow, and everyone's, yeah, 6s and 7s.
No, that, yeah, is,
I,
true.
Something's going on there.
It's something that they've never quite got right on the series, is it?
No.
Where Craig's marking will change during a show, and
for sure,
that seems like a bit of a problem. It becomes a bit like Squid Game, where some of the games, if you go first, you're really disadvantaged. Yeah. It's only a matter of time before this, you know, the coarsening of this country. You'll be doing Strictly Come Dancing, but of course there will be rifles involved.
But this is the problem, though. They'll give him the rifle, and then before the nicotine patch, there'll be blood all over the dance floor, and then suddenly he'll be like, that was great. What were you worried about? As these, like, celebrities are quivering, waiting for the bullet.
I sort of want to watch that show.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
It's an S-Pod thing. The podcast revisiting S Club 7's insane TV show.
Yeah, I can't imagine anyone's binge-watched this. Anyone who's not on drugs.
Thank you for bringing this into my life. It was honestly truly appalling.
Guests helped me analyse the show in more detail than anyone ever asked for.
It feels weird to me to say the phrase sex object in a show that was aimed at six-year-olds.
Do you think there's one of the problems with the show is that 7 is too much?
It's an S-Pod thing from Great Big Owl.
It being movie week, what bigger movie name could you get to read out the little bit about how to vote than Amelia Fox?
From Silent Witness, a television show that's on television.
Yeah, and her most recent show, which is In the Footsteps of Killers, where she half-heartedly investigates cold cases.
Nice.
It's, that is not a drama, by the way, Julia. That is documentary.
Right, because she's like a TV pathologist, they've decided she must also be interested in murder in her own time, which she, as you said, clearly is not interested in it.
She likes the acting bits where she picks up the phone and goes, what's that? You've got some excellent information for us.
Yeah.
And she enjoys those bits. But solving the crimes, they seem less bothered about.
That's not, that's not us. But anyway, the small improvement was that after Alan Carr appeared, I think via his iPhone last week, at least someone had sent a proper camera to her, and she seemed to have had hair and makeup and was sitting in a good looking venue. Literally, Alan Carr was in his sweats last week in his, I don't know, in his
I saw it. It was terrible. And I thought to myself, if you know, again, this is BBC One's flagship primetime Saturday night show. If this was America and you know, this went out on NBC and that video had gone out, six senior people involved would have been fired.
Off
absolutely.
Yeah.
We saw it again. It happened in Reese's bit where he danced and they cut to his church, his local church that was full of kids.
Bless them.
I mean, how is it that the BBC cannot get this? What are they sending? Are they sending like a Motorola phone to film these bits? I cannot understand it. It's crazy.
Really poor. I know.
Very poor.
It must be a technical nightmare. But honestly, if you can't get that, that's happened two or three times in a row now, where they've just had a crazy pixelated mess. Where Claudia's trying to tell you that there's some people there, but even she knows, you know, her descriptive skills can't quite. You know, there's no picture. It's terrible. If they've done it three times in a row now, surely they're looking to fix that bug for next time, because it's
It seems to be the only show on television, you know, since, if you like, the lockdown has ended and everyone was getting used to it right at the start. It's the only show on television that puts out stuff that if it was your home phone, you'd go, I'm going to have to hang up and ring you back. The second dancer was Dan Walker, who was dancing to Sleeping Beauty. Was
it? I like that, because genuinely this is, I think for me, and this is no fault of anyone, but this one is just, I forgot it as I was watching it.
So dull. It was the sort of dance that I loathe when it's done at anything other than the elite level.
Yeah.
And watching people do this sort of awful, like Nutcracker on Ice routines, I just loathed every second of it.
And obviously, I was watching, I'm slightly hungover, but I was watching, I didn't see any mistakes. Apparently, he made loads of mistakes.
That's right.
He had to sort of wait to try and get his counting back and then start again. So, you know, and Movie Week can be a real shitter for some dancers. I think it's quite traditionally, but a lot of people went up this week, but normally, traditionally, Movie Week is a bad one for many of the dancers. It was fine, but Craig gave him a 3 because he cocked up so much, I think.
That's right. And he got a 5, a 7 and a 6 as the other marks for 21, which was one of the lowest scores of the night. He was certainly in the bottom 3.
People are obviously voting for him, because obviously this is going out after the results show, so we know that he didn't end up in the dance-off. I'm surprised.
No.
I'm surprised there are people picking up the phone for him, not because he's objectionable, but just because in a huge field of 14 couples, like, who is thinking, Dan Walker, he's my man, and picking up the phone? Like,
do you know what I sort of think? I think, you know, if you went on Strictly, how many people at home, you know, and in your friend group, do you genuinely think would vote for you? You
know,
I'd say there's probably about 100 people. But out of the people who would actually vote, I think there'd probably be 20 if I was lucky. They'd all say they'd voted for me, but they wouldn't have. I'd say to them, what's the mechanism? Can you do it online? And they go, I did do it online. And you go, oh, yeah. The only thing I can think is that Dan Walker, never Dan, Dan Walker, that's his name. His first
Daniel,
name is Dan Walker.
Nadia calls him. She always lengthens it to Daniel.
Yeah. Oh, Sheffield Evangelical Christian Dan Walker. That's the other one I call him. What he's got, of course, he's got a faith, but he's also got a church. And I imagine if you sort of like boil it down to go, you know, if you have 1,000 people vote for you, well, he's always going to have a block of about 300 who are going to ring.
You're saying it's basically he's using Jesus to get more votes.
I'm saying he's part of a community that I'm not a part of, and yet they support him.
Like being Scottish,
and it infuriates
like,
me. Exactly.
Scotland's going to vote for you if you're the Scottish one.
Exactly.
Et cetera.
It would be like being the one person from Wales on the show.
Well, the religious vote's going to get split now, because Reese has just had his church, albeit pixelated.
True.
His church was on camera, so now it's going to be like the battle of the churches.
Oh, that's good. Which is the one true church? Amazing. Dan Walker, actually, you know, one of the papers did a little bit about him, because he said in so many interviews, because of his faith, he will never ever work on Sundays. They were saying it's slightly, you know, proves, I mean, we do know this, but the fact that the results show is pre-recorded.
Yeah.
And they were sort of saying, you know, that's a bit off, isn't it? And I thought to myself, in any other circumstances, I go, oh, grow up, don't be silly. We all know how telly works.
Hey.
But because it's Dan Walker, I go, yes, he's really ruined this.
He's burst the bubble. He's burst the bubble.
He did at the end then dedicate his dance to two little girls who were the daughters of a rugby player who is, I believe, has motor neurone disease. I might be wrong on that. But I did think again, you know, there's something about that sort of thing that I think makes it difficult for the judges, and it makes it difficult for the people who are voting at home. And I don't like those, if you like, what's the big singing show where everyone has a cry? X Factor sob stories.
X Factor, where they're kind of jabbing you in the kind of feelings glands when you don't.
I mean, this
didn't affect Craig at all. He gave Dan a 3.
He did. Yeah, absolutely. You know, this should be taken as a sport, and it's not an attempt to work out how to get as many votes.
Yeah, I know. I do get a little bit irritated by that.
Bit of an unchristian thing to do.
It's a very unchristian thing to do. Maybe you should think on that, as he perhaps uses today, the day of contemplation, to consider whether using your religion.
I bet this one, because of the opening dance, I bet this is the one that he's not series linked. I bet he's just sort of said, not having that on the box, no.
Do you think he's quietly twitching about it? Obviously, lots of Christians are kind of pro equality.
Oh, yeah.
And gender equality.
Absolutely. And you know, so many absolutely wonderful, wonderful ethos, and they follow it to the letter. I did have a little look about what evangelicals believe, and they believe in the literal word of the Bible as dictated by God. Obviously, I mean, there are some things within what seems to be the wider world of the religion that he is part of that would suggest he probably doesn't like the gays.
Abortions.
Or dinosaurs.
Anyway, his dance was a bit boring, but fine. They said they did say his lines were good, his posture was good. The other judges did kind of go to town on a bit, and then Shirley obviously felt sorry for him and said, well, I wasn't disappointed with you, and you can have an extra point for picking up the routine calmly, as in standing there, eyes shut, counting in his head, and then starting again. I mean, it was all a bit tokenistic. I don't think he's long for this world, the Strictly world, not the actual world. Although if he did die, he'd probably be happy.
The beautiful rapture.
Be with the Lord. Dan to die. God, don't put that in.
There will be no same-sex dancing in Dan Walker's heaven. Let me tell you that.
I think he'd be happier at home, not watching it on the TV, than being there on the TV.
Well, it's a shame it's changed over the years. It used to be an enjoyable family show. Dancing third.
Literally what my mum said. I said, did you watch Strictly the weekend? I changed over to something else. She always watches Strictly. There's something she's not saying.
Couple number three came out with Sarah and Aliash, who were doing a samba while dressed as Shreks.
Now, these ingredients are the ingredients of death, usually. So samba, when you've been told you're shit at Latin, but you suddenly came to life when you did ballroom, have another Latin, samba, really hard, dress you as Princess Fiona with a funny nose and a green face. That's number two.
Aliash will start the dance by coming out of a toilet, you know.
And you have to pretend to find his shit smelling bad. And
oh, my God.
You've pretty much been stamped for removal this week.
Yeah, yeah.
Not the case.
Not at all.
And
I mean, she
loved it.
Well, she danced so well. And all of those hurdles to overcome to produce something that was dignified and, you know, technically really, really impressive.
Yeah.
She looked panicked in her eyes when she was doing quite a lot of this.
Watching her, I felt a little bit, oh, shit.
Yes, but entirely.
She seemed to do it well. And that kind of rolling hip thing that I could never begin to do, she seemed to be properly doing it.
It was good.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, my other favourite bit is she went to see an acting coach and in the little video beforehand. And nobody said, do you know what he looks like? He looks exactly like Shrek.
He looked a little Shrek-y. He is
deeply Shrek-y, I felt. but yeah, I mean, look, a really good dance. At this stage in the game, you're absolutely right. I think they were like, she's a weak link, so let's really... really weak linker,
right.
And then, you know, we can be guaranteed someone will go. And I think after Nina Wadia going last week, I think that would have set a horrible precedent. You know, if you're not young or you know, particularly lithe and bendy, then this is not the show for you. And I was really, really glad to see her absolutely boss that. She got 4 sevens. That was 28. So a turning round of the show. Yeah, very much definitely. So. Yeah.
They were all surprised / impressed with her. I mean, after last week, obviously, you know, she had that. She was gliding on the success of Ballroom. And I was just waiting for this to be a disaster, honestly. And perhaps they were too. And she really did well. Really well.
Yeah. Yeah, you can really see as well how a lot of what it comes down to is just whether people have a sort of natural affinity for timing and movement. And she just has that. And once you get that, it's, you know, there's nothing you can do to make her bad. She is going to be able to at least get halfway through this dance by her just sort of generic ability, which is great to see. You know, I'm really warming to her.
Me too.
I like her personally whenever they do the stuff, you know, about behind the scenes sort of thing. But
she acted really well when she had to pretend to give a shit when that guy from Dragon's Den, who no one likes, Duncan someone, when he came on and sort of said, "We're really," and so insincere, like, "We're all watching, we're really proud of you."
Yeah.
"This is awful." And she smiled gamely through the whole thing and then went, "Wow," when it finished, in a way that you just wouldn't, because, really?
Peter Jones. There is something Peter awful, Jones, isn't there? When you have that thing where they go, "We've got a special message from someone for you." And, you know, you've just seen Judy Love got Sean Paul. And you think, "Gosh, who did I dance to last week?" It's Peter bloody Jones. "Hello, Sarah. You danced really well. Look, we've got some outstanding paperwork regarding the takeover of this girl." "All right, okay. Yeah, thanks, Peter. I'll deal with that on Monday."
Something about him just makes me feel quite bleak about everything.
Dancers number four, AJ and Kai, doing an American Smooth to The Bodyguard.
Absolutely amazing.
Wow. I mean, if she can sing, there is another West End booking, isn't there, for the Bodyguard musical? With her speaking voice, I'm uncertain whether she'll be a singer.
Yeah, she needs to get some elocution lessons for that.
"I have nothing. Nothing."
I've got nothing. I really liked Craig saying that, you know, he continually cannot believe that she didn't dance before this show. And then he said, it was really sweet, he said, "I wish you'd started dancing when you were a child. You would be a star in this kind of field now."
Completely.
I think that's what we're all feeling watching it. It's just like, how is this woman an amateur? She is so polished.
It was just class, wasn't it? There's nothing, it's class, mate. It's absolute class. It was so good. Oh, it was. You know, if you don't like this, right, there is no hope for you. It was
Forget about it. She's great. And I really liked, she looked really emotional as well, because clearly training had been like a tough one this week. And even when we're seeing them come out all polished and fabulous, you know, they doubt themselves, they're worried, this is not their usual kind of comfort zone. But the fleckles, when she was doing the, because it's an American Smooth and they put in the kind of waltz thing, the fleckle that Anton's obsessed with.
Yeah.
Revolving and revolving and doing that thing with your feet. And he really zoned in on that and admired that. And she looked really like, thank you, yes, validation, because that's clearly been a bane of her training this week.
Completely. And I think, you know, presenters by their very nature, they are people who rely on love and affection. They have very transitory existences, and
you've,
it's all about
with
being,
haven't you, Mark?
I have in my time. It's all about transitory existence. They're always worried that tomorrow there'll be no more work.
Yeah, where's the next gig? Is someone younger going to take the, you know, the thing?
Always that.
Yeah.
Always that. And I think, you know, she's probably also tied in with not just those feelings, but going, if this goes really well, it could transform the career that I've got.
She can do anything now, I think.
Yeah, and for some people, I mean, unlike Greg Wise, for example, this is just strictly, it's just fun. For someone like AJ Dudu, this is the rest of her life and her career comes out of how well she does in this. And that's
this
an extra lot of
hinge,
pressure.
Definitely, yeah.
Hugely. Sure. She's come across on it so well. I mean, I really like her a great deal. I think she's really, really warm and enthusiastic and effusive and all of those lovely things you want from a presenter that doesn't, she doesn't feel like there's any side or any mask. And the fact that she's dancing as beautifully as she is, you sort of, you know, wow, just, on my TV every week, please.
Oh, yeah.
Couldn't be happier.
Styling her so beautifully as well. They really understand kind of what looks good on her. And second week they've gone for that kind of slightly, that kind of cute little bobbed wig that just makes her look so incredibly chic. Cheekbones, like, you know,
one of the only sort of performers on this who is gorgeous, you know, who they are sort of saying, you know, we dress you up with such elegance, you know such a beautiful woman. And it's lovely to have a couple of those people in every series.
Is she pulling your attention away from Karen? I'm sensing she is.
Karen who, sorry?
Oh!
Oh! Oh, so, hey, AJ, get on to Karen. See if she can change the name on the restraining order.
Oh, man alive. What an honor.
Because otherwise, it's going to cost you $16.50 to get one made in my name.
lucky gal. Anyway.
Imagine if you had to pay for restraining orders. That is absolutely not the case.
I love how you pulled $16.50 out of your ass there. Like, what is that?
I was thinking of something that was probably too much to spend on a piece of, you know, paper. But then I'm notoriously mean.
Yes, you are. So she got 3 9s and Craig an 8. But, you know, that was their highest score yet, which is good. She appears to be, I mean, she's going to be doing 10s next week unless there's something very wrong, because she just seems to be putting pretty much no feet wrong at all.
Completely. And had this been a slightly different later part of the show, I think she would have got a much higher score. You know, I think
I agree.
It was a brilliant piece of work. Really, really good. I mean, just lovely. And, you know, now that I love Kai as well, I'm even more behind them as a couple.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And they've definitely become a sort of up near the top of my favourites list now.
Defo. That's the end of part one, but don't you worry. Part two should be there right now as well. So get involved. Get stuck in. Love you. Bye. GreatBigOwl.com.
Hello, I'm Justin.
And I'm Lucy.
And together we are the hosts of Plenty Questions.
It's a very straightforward general knowledge quiz.
We ask you 20 questions, one after the other, 5 second gap in between, and you shout the answers out.
And then you tweet us to let us know how you've got on.
See if you can get 20 out of 20. No one has so far, but that's because we haven't started doing it yet.
But we will. And there's also going to be some fiendish brain teasers, so join us for Plenty Questions.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.